that's a jam. This week, in your parents' basement, we are playing one of the best anime-based puzzle shmups released on any system. From 1996, we're playing Twinkle Star Sprites by ADK for the Neo Geo and the arcade. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the twinkliest star of them all. It's Todd Brisket.
Oh, boys, let me just say, we are playing the ultimate cute 'em up of all time right now.
Oh, boy. You want to give yourself the Seinfeld drop on that one?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Your other co-host, this is his favorite game since Doki Doki Panic and Puyo Puyo. It's Hugh.
Me ouch. I want it so bad.
Oh, boy. There's a lot of really good English. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes. And when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to yppodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, if you want to support the show, you can find our Amazon click-through link on the YPP homepage, yppodcast.com. The homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. You can buy the Neo Geo CD of Twinkle Star Sprites for just $317.
Mm-hmm.
So this week's game is Twinkle Star Sprites. I literally had not even heard anything about this game coming into this week. Wikipedia describes it as a competitive scrolling shooter game, and it mixes elements of a shmup and a puzzle game together. Todd, you nominated this game for coverage. Why did you even?
Good question. I know this is one, based on name alone, people are shied away from. Based on the visual alone, if you walk past it in the arcade, you are walking away from this game. But this is one of my biggest guilty pleasure arcade games of all time. It is what it sounds like. Twinkle Star Sprites is a cute shoot 'em up puzzler game, battle game that you play against other people. I nominated it because this is an underground little game that not many people know. Like, let's say people have heard of Super Puzzle Fighter, the fighting game, or hey, like a Tetris Attack. You know, those kinds of battling puzzlers. This is the shoot 'em up version of those games. It is a blast to play with other people and shooting. You know, this is a shmup where you shoot the bad guys coming down on your side of the screen and you blast them away, aka 1942, aka R-Type, all those kinds of games.
Mm-hmm.
Galaga. Yeah. You know,
this is not side scrolling. It's more top down moving.
Right. Correct. That, yes.
Like a what is it? Never mind. Centipede?
Raptor.
Yes.
Space Invaders.
Space Invaders.
That's
correct.
What I'm
trying to say. Instead of playing,
I'm saying that's the perspective.
Here's the hook of this game. Instead of playing as some super battle hardened spaceship, and you know we're hardcore shooting missiles at bad boys. You know, you're playing as a tiny little girl on a broomstick shooting these puffy enemies, and it is, for me, I don't know what it is about this game. It is a lot of fun. That is why I nominated this game to play.
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's definitely interesting. What I liked about the gameplay is you're playing against another person side by side. So as you kill certain enemies, you can send those enemies to their screen. So you can just kind of... That is a great mechanic, I thought.
It's kind of where the puzzler element comes in, is that you have to time your attacks to beat the NPCs to have them explode as another player's attack is hitting
right.
you, so that it reflects their attack bad act.
Yeah,
I didn't know
how it happened. I just know that it eventually happened, and I thought that was cool. Like, it started happening to me. I saw them bouncing over to my side, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I noticed that I could do it too. I don't know how I did it, like I said, but I just shot stuff, and that's what mm-hmm. I do in these shmups. I shmup it up. I have no strategy in these games. I'm just shooting everything.
Yeah, this is one where, this is a shooter where it does take a little strategy later in later stages, where You know, you have to time everything more precisely to trigger chain reactions. If you shoot a bad boy, he will explode and trigger explosions on nearby bad boys. So you have to kind of time when you mm-hmm. kill bad guys on this game so that they chain react and destroy themselves. There's a few things. You can charge up your attack, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. if you charge it up, it shoots out a larger missile and kills. It's stronger. It kills more baddies on the screen. But if you use your regular shot, it powers up your charge meter. And if you do a charge shot with a full charge meter, it actually sends a boss over to the other player's screen, so they have to defeat a. It's kind of like a mini boss that they have to defeat.
Mm. Yeah, you can send a boss over, which is fun.
And maybe it was just me, but I was not particularly good at this game. And like you feel like it feels a little claustrophobic, and those mini bosses take up a lot of space. Like
they do, yeah.
They just swarm me. I did not beat any of them.
Well, here's the thing: like you got to remember. And this is a classic shoot 'em up trope. You have bombs. You have a bomb button that you hang. You got to hang on to until you get claustrophobicized and let loose.
I got constantly about that, so that probably would have helped. But yeah, it was. I don't know. I did not have much success with this game. I got in the story mode. I got up to the third stage, which is not particularly far. I don't know how you guys did.
Well, I, after like three levels, I'm like, okay, I get it. Which is what happens with a lot of these games.
It is true. I mean, this is one where you play it and you get it for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, now, I looked at a play. Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
I looked at a playthrough just to like see if I was missing any story, which I was not. And it was an arcade playthrough. This is the Neo Geo arcade-ish kind of thing. But the whole video was 16 mm-hmm. minutes, and like 4 minutes of it was just like the intro video and explaining how to play. So the actual gameplay was maybe like 12 minutes. So it's not it's an arcade game, so it's like it's not super long. But
mm-hmm.
I guess if you know what you're doing and you can beat every level on the first try.
True, but this is so it's more meant not for a solo arcade romp. It is more meant for hey, let's have a little fun together kind of game.
Well, I just meant the story mode took like 12 minutes.
Mm. Yeah, but I feel like it's one of those games where if you're really good at this game, then you know you can just blast through it. Like literally. I feel like that's how it. Yeah, I feel like that's how it goes for a lot of these shmups. Like if you know where the enemies are coming from and their attack patterns, you're golden. I don't know. I found it enjoyable. The music, as I mentioned at the top, mm-hmm. There are a lot of good ditties in this one. A
lot of good ditties. I definitely agree. They get stuck in my head for sure.
Mm-hmm. And oh, Todd, now I remember what I was going to ask.
Mm.
Did you play this in an arcade? I couldn't tell if this came out in the U.S. of A.
It's. But that, I think there was like a world a PAL, you a know, traveler. A PAL version, a European mm-hmm. version. I definitely played this in the arcade, translated for sure, in English. Mm-hmm. But in my neck of the wood, the town, my neck of the town of the country,
the town
Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of specialty little indie arcades, and their goal is to pull in all these rarity. So I put many a quarter in this thing in my college years a decade or two ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because this one, as I said, I had not even until this week. So, you know, this was my first experience with this game. It kind of reminded me of the oft mentioned by me, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Mm-hmm. But Puyo Puyo. I put just, many. Hey, that comes up a lot. I put many a quarter into Puyo Puyo right next to Twinkle Star Sprites when I played it back in the day.
Yes, yeah, and they're both kind of like head to head puzzle games in a way, where if you're not playing against another person, then you're playing against the computer or something like that. But it was weird while I was playing this one. I was also like, huh, is there just a mode where I can I can just play this game without the other person, so I can just kind of get used to it and get good at it. Is there nope. even a mode?
I mean, that's the first like stage. That? That's basically what it is. The first stage opponent is a weakling that does not do much to you.
Yes. Well, it's part of the mechanics is the side-by-side screens and sending stuff back and forth.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But I don't know. This was enjoyable, but I don't know. We also have not talked yet about Huel. You sent an image of this to the chat earlier.
The
cutscenes and just the bonkers story going on in this one.
Yeah, this game was not Japanese enough for me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, it's I don't even know how to describe. I don't know how to describe what's going on in this one.
I'm afraid to describe it.
I don't know what's going on in this one. Todd, do you know what is like the plot of this game?
I don't pay much attention to the plot for this game when I play it. It's tough to say what is the plot. It's basically the single player. So let me put it this way. In the multiplayer mode, it doesn't matter. You're just picking different characters. They have different special attacks, and you can attack each other willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. What's going on? And then in the single player, you play as the blonde-haired little girl-looking lady. Lodran is her name. Lodran.
Yeah.
As it's spelled exactly how I'm saying it. Lodran.
Yes.
And she goes through the Cloud City, defeating all the other characters in this game one by one. I don't know why she's doing it. Maybe because she wants all their powers. I don't know what the story is. It's just like beat all the enemies. That's the story, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Basically. Well, like there's little interstitials with each character you encounter, and this is one of the characters you encounter, which you go to the lake and then this cat comes out and starts molesting you, I guess, and then you're like, hey, we should battle.
Yeah, I mean,
that's basically what happens.
It's like a 5-minute molestation cutscene, or
it's more like 2 minutes.
It's weird because there is some like oddly clever writing at times where it's like, oh yeah, don't worry, These creatures are harmless. The only thing they don't like is blonde girls with their hairs and pigtails. And that's, of course, what your character is. And then
right.
that starts the next battle. I think it's Nanja Manja.
Nanja Manja.
Yes, mm-hmm. A group of multicolored furballs. So... yeah, there's kind of stuff like that, but then there's other stuff that just reads like, oh, this is very badly mistranslated.
A lot like of that.
The instructions are not particularly good. And then all of these names. There's something called Really Till, which is a green-haired girl with a dragon. Tinker and Linker, two blonde fairies. Yan Yung, a young green-haired girl with flying pigs, and then just Arthur Schmidt, so a red-haired guy with a jetpack.
There he is.
So, yeah. I don't know. It was kind of like wacky and all over the place, which is kind of fun, but it's also just kind of weird.
Here's the thing, like, this is not a game you play for the story. This is a game where you're having a party, all your friends are over, everybody's popping some Coors, and you pop on Twinkle Star Sprites on your emulator on the big screen, and everybody's picking up a control and battling each other. It's a good time.
I guess, but I'd rather play the Puyo Puyo or Tetris Attack or something like that. I guess if you had a bunch of friends who like shmups, like this is the game you would play though. But I don't know. Even though I'm saying that, I can recognize that this is a good game. This is above the average of what we normally play. So I don't know. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I will agree with you. Yes.
Okay. We should probably move along a little bit here. Todd, I understand that for one of the few times, you do not have a most best this week.
That's right. As prolific as this game is, I could not find any reviews for it.
Mm-hmm. So
that is it prolific?
That technically yes. means it's worse than every other game we've covered. That means.
Yeah, the general public does not give it enough stars mm-hmm. to have a 5-star rating.
Yes, this is worse than Mini Fats. This is worse than Home Improvement.
Mini Fats didn't have any reviews either.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're about the same. They're like the same.
It was so long ago that we recorded that show that I forgot about it.
So many weeks ago.
Yeah. I do have a 1-star Yelp review for Twinkle Star Hair Salon. Alexandria C. writes, "Definitely had my worst hair salon experience here. I came for a cut and a change in hair color. They offered two choices in terms of different methods of dyeing hair, a cheaper option and a more expensive option. I opted for the cheaper one, and immediately they started talking in Cantonese about me being cheap and choosing that. What? It was very rude since they assumed that I did not understand. Furthermore, every time they talked to me, the tone was very degrading. After spending an hour there dyeing my hair, I chose red color, they revealed it, and the top of my head was a brassy orange, while the bottom of my hair was a dark brown. It was two completely different colors. Then they went to blame it on me, saying that since I dyed it before, the roots were black originally and the bottom wasn't, resulting in the difference in color. They were supposed to be a professional hair salon. Things like these were something they should have accounted for. Then they were like, oh, it's the same color, we just need to blow dry it. It evidently wasn't. After demanding that they fix it, they were very rude and insisted that the color was the same. Do not go to this place if you are not Cantonese. They will not treat you with the same kind of respect. 1-star. So.
Oof. Ooh. I mean, it sounds like they don't treat you with respect if you are Cantonese, because this lady obviously spoke Cantonese and did not get respected.
She should have made it known that she speaks the language, and then maybe she would have gotten some respect. So, you know.
Wow. You know,
I
will put them on my list of places to avoid when I get my hair dyed.
Yes. Unless you decide.
But you're not Cantonese.
If he discovers that he has some Cantonese ancestry, maybe he can go. Then they'll know what to do with you.
Oh, then they'll treat me with respect.
Yes. One of the 5-star reviews notes, Twinkle Star is my spot. The Asian ladies really take care of you. They head feels so clean after I live here. Also, they give you a little massage after the wash. Also, you can't beat the prices. 5-stars. So, that sounds oddly suspicious.
It sounds delightful.
Well, Huel, did you get a chance to see a manual for this one?
So this originally came out for the Neo Geo, which is basically an arcade. Yes. So I could not find a manual for that, but it was also ported to the Neo Geo Pocket, but apparently that was only in Japan. So I found the Japanese manual for the Neo Geo Pocket version.
Wow.
So unfortunately it's in black and white. I wish these pages were in color, because there are a ton of drawings in this. I can only assume it explains the controls. A lot of screenshots of like what's on the screen and like what they do. And then there's a bunch of pages which I can only assume are character profiles, because it's like a page with a bunch of writing and a drawing of each character. So that's fun. Yeah, if this was in color, it would be a lot better. And if I could read it, I'm sure there's a lot more I could get out of it. But I got to say, it's probably 3 out of 5 Mario 2s. I enjoy this manual.
Wow. Nice.
If I could read it, it would probably go down, honestly.
I mean, that's the same for most things. Like,
yeah,
reading something always depresses you more. Than
oh, it's so much worse.
Take a glance at it.
Look at the pictures.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have a ranking system, and it is called the Herzog Twinkling Star Hierarchy. And this game is coming in at a Herzog Saban, Herzog 7.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, you know, I think I'd choose other puzzle games over it or other shmups over it. But it's fun, and I can't deny that music. That music's good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's bright, it's colorful. And as a result, I feel like it holds up pretty good. Like this came out in like the PlayStation and Saturn era. And I feel like the fact that it just said, nah, screw it. 2D, colorful 2D graphics, that helps it with the replay value. So 7.
Not bad.
Yeah. Todd, how about you? Did you get a chance to rate this game?
I did. I put all the factors in, and I have a calculation on the DuckTale scale. Hmm. The DuckTale scale has two primary factors. Primary factor number one is nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I have for this game personally? Primary factor number two is replayability. Would I replay it in these times we live in, these weird and wild times we live in? Nostalgia. Big nostalgia for this game. I've been playing this game since around the year 2000, 2001, somewhere around there. I put the quarters in the arcade and played it. It's a mere 5 years after it came out, which I feel like in arcade times and for a little unknown game is pretty early on. So I have pretty good nostalgia. You know, I've always liked playing this game in the arcade with battling my buddies. It's been a good time. Replayability, you know, it's a arcade puzzler shmup. So it is as replayable as any other game of that ilk, which there aren't many, but I mean, puzzlers are replayable. Shmups are replayable. Combine those two, and they are also replayable. So those two primary factors being factored in, I'll give Twinkle Star Sprites a point. Oh, I see here. Okay, a point. A 0.72 DuckTales. Woo, nice.
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow. You know, this is one of Huel's most impressive near misses.
0.74.
Yeah.
Oh, very close. Very close.
Wow.
Yeah, because I feel like when it's not close to the 0.00 or the 1.0.
When it's not under 0.1, it's
yeah.
On broader range there.
Yeah. Wow.
Man.
Mm.
You know what
very
I
mean? Very nice.
I factored in nostalgia and replayability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like you were Todd. For like 98% of that.
If only.
Yes. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say before we moved on?
Oh, boy. I don't think so. It's a fun little shmup.
Todd, I figured I'd give you the last word here since this is a game near and dear to your heart.
Yeah. You know, one of the cool things about this game I think is cool is that, you know, this is a one-on-one shmup kind of game, but if you have two pros playing and they're battling for a long time and they are dodging all those bombs and everything, a cute little Grim Reaper flies out and will start attacking randomly the players. And that is the basically like a countdown timer. Eventually, this Grim Reaper is going to touch you and you die. I love that. So good.
Oh,
anyway, this game is a great competitive shooter / puzzler, and I highly recommend people check it out because you never know. This is kind of a combo game where it might, you know, by all appearances, this is not a game for you because it's got like some anime girl on the cover with huge eyes and she's like looks like she's 5 years old, but she's flying on a broom shooting puffy bad guys,
Twinkle Stars.
Yeah, shooting Twinkle Stars. But this is a fun game for me.
Well, it has your endorsement. And it is available nowadays. I believe you can get it on Steam and it's
get it on GOG, GOG.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
It's in a couple of SNK collections, which they do much like Sega, they shove much of their back catalog out quite a bit. All right. Let's move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any emails this week?
I didn't, but I heard Huel did.
Did you know?
Yes, the word on the street was that you had received an email.
I did get an email that I should probably read. It says, Dear YPB, I'm a big fan of your podcast. You guys must be pretty famous by now, making so many top quality episodes. I know a little something about being famous, but I could never repeat my initial success, and it soon faded away. Some games are like that, burning bright but never really turning into a franchise. What are some of your favorite games that never got a sequel? And that's from Dexy's Right Said Aha.
Oh, boy. Wow. Okay.
Wow, I love their hit jam back in the day.
Such a good song.
Yeah. Come on. Well,
let me cut this out. One immediately came to mind.
Stepped all over Steve's there.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
No, it's too late. It's too late.
Okay.
The moment passed.
One immediately came to mind, and we talked about it, even talked about it when we recorded the episode, a little gym on the Nintendo 64 called Blast Corps.
Ooh!
That game did not get a sequel. That game deserves a modern update or sequel.
Please. Yes. Give me more Blast Corps.
Yeah. It's shocking that one has not received.
It's so good.
Yeah, there should be like 20 ripoffs of that game where you just, like, imagine if you were like in a Grand Theft Auto 5-ish type of world.
Yeah.
And you could just wreck it with like dump trucks and bulldozers and stuff like that.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Like, and you get points for the more you blow up. Man.
I will say one of our best episodes, because I believe it has one of the now extinct Todd bit skits in it.
Oh, it does have a bit skit. Yeah.
So go check that out in the archives. If you have not.
Yeah. Let's see. We did
any for you, Steve?
Oh. March 2017. Episode 99.
Wow. Not as long ago as I thought.
Yeah. Well, we were just sweet babes back then.
Yeah, just pulled off mommy's bosom at that time.
Right.
Yes. And for some reason we must have spoken heavily about it during our Oregon Trail episode, because for some reason I tagged that entry with Blast Corps. So
really makes sense. Very similar games.
Yeah, yeah.
Explosions and very old Western things.
Yes, and apparently we played a game on the Oregon Trail show called Abobo Adobo, which
Yeah, that's one of my bits too, yeah.
That was a bit, huh?
Yeah. We did that about three times, yeah.
Well,
what the hell was that?
You know.
Well, I don't even remember. I did that bit, and is it a video game character or a Filipino food item?
That's right. That's a good one.
That famous bit.
Yeah.
Bobo Adobo, yeah.
Bobo Adobo.
I thought it was we had to rank our top four Abobo appearances in video game culture.
Isn't that the dude from Double Dragon that we like just talked about?
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
That's pretty weird. I mean, a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Mount Abobo, which we obviously also played. did as a bit.
Well,
do I have one? You know, it's I kind of consider Chrono Trigger a game without a sequel. I realize there's Chrono Cross, but that's
it's a spiritual successor, as they say.
Yeah, because it's, which is weird because it only came out like 2 or 3 years later, but it's just it's different play styles. You only see the first, you only see the characters from the first game really briefly, and it's just, you know, it really has nothing in common.
Yeah, it's a like different the game.
The first game is like focused on time travel and stuff like that. And the second game, you're like trying to hunt down a guy in your body or something.
Yeah, it's like parallel dimensions in that one instead of time traveling.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'd probably answer like an RPG, like The World Ends With You. That was a really stellar DS game that never had a sequel. So probably something like that. I'm sure there's a better one. Blast Corps is a pretty great answer. So,
yeah. The one that came to mind for me was L.A. Noire.
Ooh.
Give me an update on that bad boy.
I have that game. I haven't played it yet. It seems like it'd be right up my alley.
Yeah.
It's a GTA light, as I've heard it say. More about the dialogues than the actual shooting.
It's all about the interview system, which sounds exciting on paper, but trust me, it's very fun.
Oh God, I hated the interview system.
Oh, it was like great. What are you talking about?
The problem with me was it should have just been like a yes or no, but instead it's like, are they being truthful? Are they lying? Or are they holding something back? And
that's what made it more fun.
It was always tough to me to know whether they were lying or holding something back, like which option to choose. When to me, those are kind of the same thing.
Not really. Lying and lying by omission are different.
I mean, they're different, but I feel like you would still confront the person in similar fashion.
Oh, that was right. Yeah, there was like a confront option.
Yeah.
And then like he would just like go from like 0 to 20 or 0 to 60 like immediately.
Yeah. But I did. I'm with you.
He would just start yelling at people.
Yeah. I did love the setting and the tone of that game though. It felt like you were playing like a video game La Confidential, as they say.
La Confidential, yes. Mm-hmm.
The Kevin Spacey joint.
Ooh, yes. Please don't mention that. That's what I mean. Like, tweak, give me a sequel, tweak up that interview system, make it a little more interactive, or not interactive, but just like a little more clear about what you're doing there. And I think a sequel could be pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe it's San Fran's Frisky's Noir or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or
just as the locals call it, San Fran's Frisco.
Right.
Yeah. Or you know, just go back to that same setting, except you're not playing a cop, like, you know.
Or your PI.
Or you're playing a tough. Yeah.
You don't have to play by the rules.
Hey, guys, what GTA 5 has shown us is that you can just, you know, have the story from different perspectives. Like, you can be part PI, and then second part of the game, you could be a cop. Third part of the game, you could be a tough.
Yeah, there's like a detective that you get info from, but he doesn't want to give you all the info because he's working the case too.
Yeah,
but use the player, get all of it.
Who's the corrupt cop?
Yeah, and then maybe for the last portion of the game, you have to decide like which one you're going to control. So, sounds good.
There you go, Rockstar. There's your next game idea right there.
Yes, please send my check to me. Well, I got one mail, and it is, health potions are red, mana potions are blue, stamina potions are green. What other unspoken agreements have video games made? And that is from Sarah Michelle Monica Geller. So,
Okay.
Monica, interesting.
What other unspoken agreements from video games?
Yeah, I guess he's asking what kind of tropes are there that like every seem pretty consistent across game.
This is a very...
If you can think of any. The health potions one is good.
Yeah, health is red.
Yeah, like even going back to like The Legend of Zelda, the potion you get is red.
Well, here's the thing that like hearts are always health, except in Castlevania where they're special.
That's the anti-trope.
Yeah.
Yeah, with their ammo.
That pissed me off when we started playing Castlevania. I'm like, I thought I had so much health and I'm dying, but they're not health. They're like special move. like ammo.
Yes.
It's so confusing. So yeah, most of the time, hearts are health. But no, not in Castlevania.
No.
I guess, no, that's not even true. I was going to say, like, walking over stuff lets you pick it up, but in a lot of games, you have to press a button to pick it up, too.
That's a pretty good one, though.
Yeah, but then there's the game you run into where you have to press a button, and you're like, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, exactly, though. You're like, this sucks, because it's not like every other game.
Right. Yeah, that's the point. Like Castlevania.
Yeah.
and the hearts.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like this is one I'd want to think longer.
Yeah, this is weird because I'm trying to think of, there's a lot of tropes that I find in games that I'm thinking of, but there's a game that defeats that trope. Like I was thinking, in a shooter, you just get shot 100 times and you don't die. You just crouch behind a corner and you reheal yourself. But there's other games like Counter-Strike where you get shot once and you're dead. So every trope I can think of there's some counterpoint to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the ones that always happens is like, let's say your gun holds 12 bullets and you have like 200 bullets. Like when you reload a clip, you only reload the amount that you've shot. Like it's never like a full clip.
It doesn't take out the leftover three bullets in your clip, right?
Yeah. If you've shot like three times and you have 9 bullets left in the clip, it doesn't just get rid of those two. You're only just taking like 3 out of the one in your total. I always thought that was interesting. Like you should just be slamming those clips out. You should have to ration your ammo. Yeah.
I'm one of those players where I'm always, if I'm not in a firefight, I'm just slamming that R button. I'm a PC player. I'm a PC player. So I'm constantly slamming that R button, reloading my gun.
Oh, I hit the B button or square.
Oh, yeah, I also hit square. Just obsessively to the point where I'll even be doing it during firefights when I should be shooting people just because it's so instinctive. Yeah, it was a problem, especially when I first started playing Mass Effect 3 online in multiplayer. I would just be trying to reload and it's like, oh, wait, hold on. An enemy is shooting me in the face. I should really be taking
care of that. I should use the extra 38 bullets I have in my clip.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe
I should not just reload after shooting 2 times.
Yeah, bring it down to 0. But, you know, then I just moved on to pistols, which had like 4 or 5 shot clips. And that seemed to work better. Anyway. Todd, did you receive any ask this week?
Ooh, somebody needs our help. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. All right, send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll keep your asks anonymous. And this is from an anonymous, and the subject of their email ask is, no one told me about the microchip walkie-talkies. And the body of their ask is, how come no one told me about the microchip walkie-talkies national security is using now? Half of America already has one where they put a microphone in your hand and a tiny speaker in your ear. It's slightly larger than a grain of rice. I sent out a lot of emails about what's going on March 23rd. They use this to notify anyone with one of anything necessary while in real time. This system, in a sense, watches over society and keeps anyone a possible threat in check, without them knowing, of course. I found out about this while traveling around the U.S. seeing places I've always wanted to see. National security doesn't doesn't seed to send agents to scout out whomever, because they have whomever's friends plus acquaintances do it for them. I found this out in January. Ever since February, my friends and family and myself have been getting weird recommendations on YouTube and other blog sites. Stuff we have never clicked on before. Thank God I stop YouTube from playing the next video after I'm done watching one. Unfortunately, I think everyone else lets the next one play. I would have never said anything about this if someone just asked me or told me about this. WTF.
Okay.
So, what was
a lot to unpack there.
Was there a question in there?
I think it's why didn't anyone tell me about these?
Nobody told me. No one told me about the microchip walkie-talkies.
That's a question?
I smell toast.
Nobody told me.
Huh.
Well, yeah. I'll let you go, Steve. Go
ahead. I mean, we didn't tell you because we're monitoring you. I mean, isn't that clear?
Yeah. What the listeners don't know, sorry, Oscar, what you don't know is we are listening to you as you listen to these episodes.
Yeah, right, we knew now this email was coming because we saw you write it.
Yeah. And, hey, hi.
Yeah.
Hey there.
So. Yeah. I mean, don't bother calling your friend because, hey, we're coming for you right now.
Yep. Everything
police
you said was.
Police aren't going to help you. Police
100% correct.
Police are under our dollar right now.
Yep. Everything you said was right. Not much else to say there. Glad you figured it out. Congrats, dude.
We helped that person come to grips with what we're doing to them, I guess.
Not sure. We helped them. Possible to help them. But...
Help them come back to reality, which is, lock your doors, buddy. You won't do you much good, but lock them.
Never let the next video play. I think that's something we can all agree.
We all agree on that, yes.
Yes, yes.
Always uncheck that autoplay button.
Definitely.
Maybe click through a bit more if you wanna get serious about stopping the broadcast.
Or just burn your computer.
No. He needs that to click through.
Oh.
Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we finish tonight?
Oh, you brought Drapey? What's the deal with that?
Huel, how about you?
Just wanted to let everybody know this be my pig bird.
Oh, Jesus. That doesn't sound so great, but on that note, here's a snifferoo from next week's game.
And so it is for Ronnie Dobbs that I proudly accept this Tony Award.
The Tony, the Oscar, the Ace, the world's greatest grandpa, the Motor Mountain, the biggest asshole in the world. And now the Dewey, live from the Opal Room in the Holiday Town Center spot, it's the Cyrus Dewey Awards.